The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Like, living room, he has a gigantic photo of him on a pitch. Like, it's huge. Like, it's as big as, well, you can't see that, but it's as big as that.
Yes.
And I think he should just have that behind him. Like Craig Forrest within Craig Forrest for his background. Who doesn't want more Craig Forrest?
Especially like a Russian
his
doll.
His head would be right around his junk.
Russian doll. I like that.
It'd be a massive, massive Russian doll, wouldn't it? It's Footy Prime, everyone. Our former Premier League footballers and English footballers are not here still. They're on vacation still. We get the occasional mention in the dark web. Just kind of rubbing it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But they'll return at some point, perhaps, but we don't need them anyway.
Can I mention that I think Craig is starting to feel a little homesick? Because when he starts saying, hey, I miss you guys, it's because he's been 7 days golfing, his back is sore. He's probably like, I can't golf today, I'm going to stay back, watch the Olympics 3 hours late, whatever it is. But when he's like, hey, I miss you guys, that's when I know he's ready to come home.
Yeah.
That's the tell.
Yeah, that's the tell.
Yep. I wonder if Craig's done any bowling. Because he'd mentioned, was it last year or the year before, him and the boys went bowling for a few hours. And he said that that ruined him for days. That was the craziest workout he'd had in a long time.
I didn't remember that. But now that you mention it, I totally remember that story.
Yeah.
I went bowling a year ago with some friends. And my right hand has never been the same since. That finger. Apparently I've got arthritis in that finger now because I didn't before bowling and I just did something to it. And even now it kills me ever since that. So I won't go bowling again.
You know how Michael Scott used to say, that's what she said on our show. It's poor Tony.
Or lucky Tony.
Right.
Yes. Anyway, that was Wonga and JC's here as well. I'm Shams. I mentioned Dubs before. We've got a few things to get to today. Later on, we have some fun and games. Okay, we're going to have some what do you call it? Oh my god,
pleasantries?
Not pleasantries. No, what do you call it? Or would you rather? And we've got some things that you'll hear on the soccer pitch, as well as in the bedroom.
That's what she said.
Poor Tony.
I've been red carded a few times. Get out of here.
You're not welcome to the junk.
Rematch, man.
Yes, exactly. Thomas Frank's fired. That just dropped when I woke up this morning. Boy, it's going to be a tough morning for you, Wonga.
I was thinking about that. I've been thinking about how Wilfred Nancy was treated when MLS coaches not ready for the Scottish Prem. This is the big leagues, all this kind of stuff. Is it the same for someone going from a ninth place team to a team that, what was they, 15th last year or something?
17th.
17th? Thank you. Do they just have different narratives about leagues and who's up to par and color and all these kind of things where you're like, oh, I'm just going to make sure that this one is seen as he failed. He was moving up, just not ready, but nothing about leagues, nothing about whether his experience matched what Tottenham Hotspur thought they were. You know, it's quite interesting the different narratives around all of these firings. And I don't think they're always fair, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, this one reminds me a lot of the Graham Potter situation when he left Brighton. Had a great situation, great owner, had a lot of control there, was there for a while, punching above his weight constantly. Goes to the lights of Chelsea, and it's just a different world. It doesn't work out for him. And he's been stigmatized since then, I think, which is unfair. He went to West Ham, didn't work out. And now, like, geez, who's going to hire Graham Potter? Yeah, at Brighton, he was considered a future England manager.
Right.
Right? It's amazing how quickly you can fall. And look at Frank at Brentford, there for 7 years, punching above their weight constantly. He said that was the best job in football. He said that once upon a time. He's living his dream. And then the likes of Spurs come calling. And it does. Spurs is a massive club with coming off, what, their first trophy for a long time, despite a poor league campaign. A lot of potential there. And it, again, for whatever reason, doesn't work out. I mean, it's a tough business, isn't it? Now, you could point to the injuries Spurs have had, for sure. They've got Kulikowski's been out all year. Madison all out all year. Uh-huh. These are important players. Because Thomas Frank doesn't forget how to coach over, what, 6 months, right, Dubs? I mean, something is going to arrive there. And I feel really bad for the guy.
Yeah, I do too, because I think he's a really likable guy. Like his tenure at Brentford, whenever you saw the behind the scenes stuff, like a peek behind the curtain when he'd be talking to his technical staff or into the locker room and congratulating guys or singling certain players out for good performances. He just seemed like the perfect modern players coach. So that all wasn't lost when he made the leap to Tottenham. And that's really what it was, because I think to Wonger's point, and JC, I'm sure as a Spurs fan, you can weigh in here as well, that there are different rules, different standards, and different sets of expectations for the big clubs and everybody else. So you take a record, you take a performance, you take even relationships, whether that's how he related to the brass or how he related to the players, and drop that in to a top six club. It's just not going to come off the same way because it's through the lens of that kit, through the lens of that badge, and it's seen in a very different way than it is with all the other clubs in the Prem.
But don't you think he'd know that ahead of time and he'd prepare for that? He's a smart guy. He must understand that Tottenham Hotspur world is very different to Brentford world, both on and off the pitch. And even the players are going to probably have a slightly more bigger ego at Spurs perhaps than Brentford. Maybe that's an unfair sweeping generalization. But overall, he knows, you got to think after 7 years and being approached by many clubs in that 7 years, and he said no to them, he would have done his background on this club and thought, okay, I've got to adapt my philosophies a little bit.
Oh, he's probably ready, Sharms. He was ready to be. I mean, I think going back to what Jimmy always says, you know, you're hired to be fired. I think the funny thing for me is, you know, they're 16th right now in the table. So that is one up from last year. So there's an improvement. It just hasn't been deemed enough for the Tottenham Hotspur fan and executive.
It's a coach killing club though, isn't it? Like Chelsea. Mm-hmm. They're coach killers.
Killing.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. I mean, Ange was a god 3 years ago. Then it all went down the shitter last year and he got fired. Everyone loved Ange, even the fans, they loved Ange. And now they're probably all clamoring for Ange. These fans. Can he come back? I mean, listen, there's going to be someone out there, a big name, who's going to want that job. And he'll take that job because it's a good job. But
Craig and Jimmy, can you guys come back?
I wonder if Poch could go back there after the World Cup. Poch is beloved there, was brilliant there. He understood the club. If he's looking to get back into club management, there's an opportunity. If Carrick's doing really well at United and he sticks around there and that job's not available, because as much as we might dismiss United, that's one of the biggest jobs in world football. Biggest names will be attracted to that. Wonder. We'll speculate.
They're perennial underachievers, aren't they? So 17th in the Prem last year, but they win the Europa League, so they qualify for Champions League. So it kind of twists it a little bit. Right. And then you get Thomas Frank and you think, okay, this is the guy. This is our guy. If you're even talking as a fan, he's going to be the one who's going to take us to the next level. Who's finally going to deliver or help us to deliver on all of this promise, all of this potential that, but is never fully realized. And so maybe you would hope that a guy that you thought would bring you everything or at least bring you to new heights, you're still not getting it. He's sacked. Maybe finally they turn the lens and the microscope on themselves and figure out what is it that we're doing internally that isn't allowing us to compete year after year when we should be. We have the backing, we have the money, we have the players. Yes, we've been hard done by injuries and, you know, the Delta hand where it's maybe been a little bit of bad luck. But they should, every year after year after year, they should do better than they actually do.
I think with those kind of clubs too, Dubs, you've got to start well, right, as a new coach. You have to. You've got to win the fans over early to get the patience. And they didn't do that. They had a terrible start to the season. Mm. And I think they've lost three home games this year. Terrible home team, which isn't good enough for Spurs. You've got to get that faithful aboard, right? And play a certain brand of football, and they're used to playing a certain brand of football. He didn't bring that. It was nothing like Ange. It's funny, we complain about, we don't, but the fans were complaining about Ange Ball, how it's so amazing, but at the same time, it's so naive. It's only one way. There's no plan B, mate. Just plan A. I don't care the score. Go and play the same way. Amazing. And then you bring in...
I like when he does that. Pragmatic.
See, like that halfway stripe? We're going to play higher than that, mate. Yeah, mate. That's a terrible
accent. You haven't seen a high line until you see my teams.
But it was all Austrian in all accent. The time, right? So there was something thrilling about that. And yeah. They were getting results for a bit. And then when you don't, then everybody turns on you.
Oh, they'd win well. System's right? But no boy, would they lose badly as well. Right?
Well,
whereas and it's just not the same style, right? The Spurs like attacking football, and maybe it's because of the injuries. I don't know, but... He was dealt a bad hand as well.
Like yours from bowling.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, JC?
Oh, sorry. It's me, JC. So I have a prediction now. I think with this, I mean, I don't know who is going to come in to take over, but I feel that, I mean, the only place to go is down and way up. So I feel like they're going to get relegated, but also win the Champions League.
That would be something.
That'd be amazing. And that'd that's a question. Well, listen, would you take a Champions League win?
Great question.
And a relegation, or like, does it, you know?
I feel like, are we getting into our would you rathers?
Oh, we'll save that for later.
Doing the only one. No, but that's interesting though, is it? Because you win the Champions League, but around that Champions League match, there's going to be the specter of relegation, which is going to be devastating for a club like Spurs. And we can't, even if we win this thing, we can't retain these players. Although we do play in the Champions League next year from the league championship, right? Because the champions. Spurs fans. If only we had a Spurs fan. Wanga, would you rather win the Champions League and get relegated?
Or I'm not a Spurs fan. I'm a...
Look, I'll get mixed up with you.
I want to hear from Jaideep, Chris Wark, and even JC over here.
Who's Brentford and who's Spurs between you two? That's what I get.
Oh no, I'm Brentford. Two thirds of JC. The season in, they'd give him a season and a half. It's getting to the ridiculous point where these clubs are not allowing these coaches to settle in. I don't think, you know, we saw Wilfred Nancy. We saw, God, who was the guy before him that was like 30 days?
Ange,
yeah. Ten Hag was a short tenure at United. There's been so many guys coming in, coming out. And to think that this is a coach issue, it's not. This is management. It's player salaries, it's like all of these things mashed into one. And so I get that they have to let people go, but you don't let people go before they even had a chance to start. That's kind of the silly part for me.
Unless you think you've got something better waiting on you the don't. Outside. They've approached someone. Well, who knows, right? But they might think they have.
And expectations are everything, Charms.
Well, Frank, yeah, no, for sure. And at Spurs, they're unrealistic, obviously.
Unrealistic. But
Frank said, I think the quote he used was like, we're like a super tanker turning the corner. So it takes a long time, but we're getting there when we do get on the right track. And listen, the injuries are a good excuse in his case. There's a ton, right? Even Slanky, he's been out. Kudus, they got, he's been out. But anyway, that's Thomas Frank. That's Spurs. More drama. We'll see what they do with this. Listen, they're 5 points from relegation right now, which is why they're terrified, but they're not going down. They're not being relegated. No. Right. Again, something words you can use both in the football pitch.
Craigers West Ham is looking like they're going down.
They salvaged a point yesterday, right?
Yeah, they did, but they should have had three. And it was like they gave up a point with
what? They keep doing that.
96th minute, 95th minute.
And your boy with the hair, the United fan, didn't get to cut it.
Oh, didn't get to cut it. I love that guy. 5 wins in a row. It's going to be a long time.
It's a great block of hair, isn't it? It's a block of hair.
It really is.
Does anyone else get hungry when they hear West Ham? I'm not being cheeky. I'm being honest. Every time I hear the name West Ham, I'm like, I could go for a sandwich.
Mm. West Ham and eggs. Yeah.
Definitely a joke in there somewhere.
No.
They are a scrambled mess right now.
Mm.
But maybe they can poach some better talent in the summer. Or they'd be fried otherwise. And forget about it.
They got to crack it. They're a shell of their former selves.
Oh,
that's very good.
That's the winner right there.
That was exceptional.
I didn't get to see it. I've got to catch up today. It's late. I'm tired. I do a lot of things. CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Forge in action last night. 4-1 losers to Tigres in Mexico. So no great surprise there. That was kind of anticipated. So the run comes to an end. But still, they've got to beat Tigres in the Champions Cup.
You can't call that a run. It's the same match. It's the same series of matches for the first round. Before. The run. Yeah. The draw was a run.
How they got into the tournament.
Mm.
Right?
I see.
But you're right. It's not a run. They lost. And they're out. Anything to add to that, anyone? We'll get to it as the days go on and we get to actually watch the match.
No,
go well, Hamilton.
It was just last week, right? We had talked about how impressive it was and how little eyeballs and attention those two matches got. Vancouver FC playing the Holders and Cruz Azul, and then Tigres versus Forge played in Hamilton and held them to a draw. But then this is what we expected. So, yes, that's an accomplishment, I guess, but it's over the course of two legs and you have to show up. And even Bobby was talking about, okay, we saw 8 of 11 starters in Hamilton. We'll probably see 11 of 11, like their habitual starting 11, and it'll be full force Tigres that we'll have to come up against as the away team. And I think that's the result that we could have expected. So we're not quite there yet, I think, if we're going to compete as a CPL team.
Yeah, Flores on the bench for this one to start the match. I think there's nothing really to say about it. Like you said, we expected this and it's fine and CPL's growing and they're going to get closer. That stadium, by the way, from what I did watch last night's game, the stadium's amazing. I'd love to go to that stadium.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
And we also, Liga MX team coming to play in Hamilton when it was -8.
Yeah.
That's going to slow down. That's going to level some of the playing field.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But to Tony and our boys in the supporters club, commiserations.
Yes.
You have a whole season ahead of you, though, so I wouldn't be too downhearted about this.
And I think it's exactly what you expected, right? That was
two matches. You know how fans are. There's always the hope. As Craig tells us, that kills you. Craig's trying to motivate us.
Yeah.
Don't want that.
No.
We're about to sign a big sponsorship deal. It's the hope that kills you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Craig. All right. Canada have a match finalized, their farewell match to the World Cup. And it's going to be in Dubsy's Montreal against Ireland on June the 5th. Big moment for Montreal, Dubs. That's going to be fun. We should try and get up there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we talked about Montreal not getting a lot of love under previous coaches, whether it was Herdman or even prior to that, but how much work Jesse Marsh and Canada Soccer had done to cultivate relationships with communities, MLS teams, places that maybe didn't get these games. And we know just because of the climate and the challenges that we face as Canada in like a March window, and actually in Josh Cloke's article, he talks about that. In the opponents that Canada Soccer was able to deliver in Iceland, Tunisia, Uzbekistan, and now on June 5th, the Republic of Ireland. You hope it's a Republic of Ireland that's qualified for the World Cup, but regardless, it's good timing for them if they do end up in the World Cup. But it's important to kind of sprinkle that love across the country where we do have challenges. I mentioned the climate, but also in the way of infrastructure. You have a fabulous stadium with Stade Saputo where you know the fans are going to turn out. And you saw it with our women's national team, a game I covered last year where they played Haiti twice. It was a hostile environment because you dropped it in. Yes, it's a great grass stadium. It's in an incredible place to play, but it was 16,000 Haitian strong supporters who were there that made it kind of raucous and challenging for Canada to play in. It's not going to be that, I think, with Canada versus Ireland, but it's so great, I think, that even though Canada is hosting in Toronto and in Vancouver for the World Cup, and a lot of these markets that didn't get that love are feeling maybe hard done by, they do get a chance to just show up and show out for the men's national team. So I think it's not only good prep for them, because I think Ireland will be a good test. And it's, you know, we talked about, you know, our Cloak does in his article, Belgium and the likes of Portugal for the U.S. men's national team. And like these bigger name, these higher ranked opponents that I think a lot of the fan base here in Canada was hoping to get. And I think Canada soccer as well. But they, and I sent this in the dark web, a quote to say, I can't find it exactly. Oh, no, here it is. It's a sentence from Josh Cloak's article at The Athletic. The Federation's top priority when booking the final four matches before the World Cup was playing on Canadian soil. And I fucking love that. Because it's so important, because when we're talking about what this home World Cup, where it's co-hosted, where the U.S. and Mexico get the lion's share of games, you still want it to mean something. It's not just a fleeting moment. It's how it translates. It's the legacy piece. It's everything we've talked about around the tournament and how that will trickle down and have like a knock-on effect for the future generations. Playing at home is crucial to all of that happening. And it can't just be the World Cup games itself. It has to be everything that's around it. So again, dropping into these different communities that don't get these World Cup games, you're doing it there and you're building on something you've already established in these communities. So kudos to Jesse Marsh and also to Canada Soccer to maybe getting downgraded opponents. But I think what you're going to get out of the games where you go in on a high to a World Cup where hopefully you've beaten these teams who are ranked lower than you have, but you've also built something for your fan base. And that's huge.
Yeah, there's going to come a point, sorry, Wonga, where we want to see the big teams coming in. Of course we do. But I love this as well. It shows they kind of get it and that we have to use this World Cup and the build up to this World Cup for the greater good to grow this game in this country. And that means getting eyeballs on our team and asses and seats in various parts of the country and growing that grassroots fan base, you know, from the ground up. It's so important. And yeah, okay, so I did the math. So Tunisia, Uzbekistan, and Ireland combined their world ranking is 232. That's an average of 58 in the world. Canada's 29. So yeah, they're not sexy, but when you put suddenly 20,000 odd at Saputo Stadium and you're going to have, you know, what, 40,000 at BMO and wherever it's going to be at BC Place, I don't care who they're playing. And suddenly we're becoming a football nation because whoever's the opponent is, it doesn't matter. We're here to see our team play, right? Mm-hmm. And let's hope we do show up in mass, and I'm sure we will. But that, I think it's brilliant. Dubs, you.
Your glasses, well, okay.
Oh, my God. No, this is, I'm having a major issue. So I was last night taking away ice from my roof, and my regular full-time glasses snapped, right? They're done. So I dug out my secondary pair of reading glasses, which I forgot are also broken. So the right lens is very flimsy right now. It's not good. Mm. So I've got to have an appointment and get some.
Really need those sponsorships money soon. Yes. Yeah. So you can go to Dollarama.
It's true.
Go to Dollarama and buy some reading glasses.
You need more depth in your reading glasses lineup. Like our men's national team, we've gotten to a point where we have that, and also depth perception.
Perception, yes, you beat me to it. Yes, exactly. Dubs, you and Wonga laughed at this. I laughed, but it was almost a tragic laugh last night when you were talking about this on the dark web, and you mentioned to us a stat from your career.
Mind-blowing. Incredible. But can we read the exchange, Dubs? Because I don't like sharing our dark web all the time, but it was... Dubs shared Josh Cloak's article or the quote from it. And then she said, I played 102 times for my country. How many of those do you think were on home soil? I checked. So we were warned. And in quick succession, I wrote 0, 12, 5. And Dubs answered, "You are a game ruiner." So it made me smile. But what is the answer?
The answer is actually 22. And that's
22.
That's bolstered by the CONCACAF qualifying that we hosted, where I played a number of my, like some of my first, I think I had less than 10 caps at that point with the national team. So we played that in Etobicoke. We won. The U.S. wasn't a part of it because they had they were going to host in 99. Mm-hmm. So that was a number of games. That was at least six. And then in 2002, out in Vancouver, we also hosted the qualifications for the World Cup in 2003. So aside from, like, so say that's at least 10 matches. So outside of that, regularly scheduled friendlies, I had a dozen. So I was really lucky in that, like, my first two caps in 1998 were in Ottawa, mm-hmm. and then Montreal in front of my friends and family. And we played at Claude Rebillard, where the Impact used to play, kind of Montreal East.
Where'd you play in Ottawa?
I think we played at University of Ottawa.
Oh.
Yeah, we stayed in the dorms there.
Oh, okay.
Yes, great, great times with the national team there. Probably four to a room as well. but after that, it was fleeting. And there were chunks of time, like mid-2000s, where there were no home games at all. And that was really tough. And I mean, that's something that's carried on. That's been an issue that's been kind of systemic, especially on the women's side, where all of the reasons that I mentioned before, you know, climate, infrastructure, we know that, but also money, because sometimes you have to put money on the table in order to entice opponents to come to Canada.
I was going
to
ask that. Explain, you know, you were talking about Canada soccer, mm-hmm. and Dubs and Sharms talking about landing teams. How is, do you guys know anything about that? Dubs, you might know more than Sharms. But how does it work with, hey, we'll give you 20,000, we'll give you whatever. How does that work?
I just know whenever we would travel, like that was more attractive because mm-hmm. like it was the other federation that was footing the bill or partially footing the bill. Right. So as a federation that was struggling to make ends meet to be profitable, that was always option A. I know in Cloak's article, and maybe while I'm looking for it, Sharms, you can weigh in with what you know. So the modern day era, like I know that there was.
Sorry, I think generally speaking, you're right. Generally speaking, you host, you invite a team over and you cover most of the costs. I know in the article, maybe you're referring to this, Dubs, Josh is talking about how Canada was prepared to spend six figures, $1 million or more on a bigger name.
Six figures or not?
Yeah.
It's six right. I've got it right not- here. I found the quote.
Oh, so that close to though. It'd be a lot of money.
It's believed Canada Soccer was willing to pay what could have amounted to a 10-digit appearance fee for the likes of Argentina.
10-digit, thank you.
Not an issue the way it might have been for past iterations of the organization. Canada contacted many of the world's top sides about possible friendlies.
Wait, 10-digit? Well, how much would that be?
What, this much.
Mr. Math?
Mr. Math?
Minimum 10 million. I mean, yeah, no.
See, I find that hard to believe. 10 digits. If it's 10, we're not smart enough. Regardless what it was, they were prepared to spend a lot of money to put a bigger name. But I love how they are really putting ego aside here and doing generally what's best for, I think, the game. And that's getting Canada, our team, playing at home, which is really important.
10 digits, I'm still trying to figure out because
it's a billion.
Make sense to me.
The lowest 10-digit number is a billion.
Yes, unless he added the two zeros on the back end or added a six.
1 billion trillion.
Josh Cloak, why don't you let us know what a 10-digit appearance fee is?
You've got math skills like Dubs does, Josh.
I know.
I'm going to text him right now and find out because I'm curious about this now, okay? I don't know whether he'll get back to us in time, but I keep talking while I do this.
Okay, so Dubs, I wanted to ask you, what was the difference about playing in front of a home crowd versus, you know, like how did it make a big difference for you other than, hey, I'm capped early and I got to feel what it was like to play for the Canadian national team? Or was it something that actually it wasn't as easy as you thought it would be, the actual match, because you are playing in front of friends and family?
No, it's not even about that. It's, you know, playing at big events, whether it was World Cups or an Olympics, and then you knew, and the women's game was, you know, back in my career was not where it is now, where you do get more bums in seats and you mm-hmm. get people who are there, you get the traveling fans, which, you know, to be fair, the European sides that we played against, even in 99, had a huge traveling contingent, you know, like whether it was Norway or the Dutch, like they're legendary, right, for their following and their fans and how passionate and committed they are. But it's just establishing that link and almost reaffirming your place on the team, that like the meaning that, you know, hearing your anthem when you're playing a home match, how that resonates with you and how it just drives home the importance of what you're doing. And it, and I talked about, you know, validation when we were talking about Lindsey Vonn, the mindset of a high performing athlete, but there's nothing quite like pulling on that kit, which you already feel an immense sense of pride doing, and you're doing it for the badge. You're not doing it for anything else. Like at the time, there was obviously no money to be had in it. We were our costs. We were compensated for playing for Canada, and I had to work a job on the side. And you got like your Sport Canada stipend per month. You weren't doing it for anything other than playing for your country and the pride that you felt. But then everything about that is then magnified when you get a chance to do it on home soil. So the fact that those opportunities were so few and far between didn't make sense. I know that there were inherent challenges with Canada soccer and making that happen and making ends meet, having the finances to be able to bring in big name opponents or just even opponents, period. But it's so important for that continuity, that thread between the feelings, the emotions, the pride that I just talked about, and the connection then in building the fan base. And making sure that those faces are known and that they link that with the pride, and it's all bundled together in that incredible feeling that you feel as an athlete representing your country, then that bleeds out onto the pitch and is imbued into the stands. And then people walk away from that match and they remember that feeling, right? I'm getting emotional talking about it, but that's everything that is about. So Canada soccer, like, bravo, because it's, of course, it's about the bottom line and the health of the federation and running things professionally. But it's also really, when you get into like the micro aspects about it, you really zoom in. It's about the feeling. That's how you bring the fans back. And you can only do that by playing matches at home.
Yes, that is. And I think that's what you just made that perfectly clear, because I'm always kind of a bit of a, I'm not as big as a pessimist as Sharms, but I'm always like, you know, what's it going to do? And I, now that you explained it like that, it does add to kind of the toolkit for growth in Canada. And so you utilize that tool, which is home matches and opportunity. You've got a team that has risen, you know, never been ranked higher, right? And if you don't use that and you're always playing away, you're not using that tool, that instrument mm-hmm. to help market, to help grow across the board.
Yep.
So it's great
insight. I talked about Claude Rebillard, my second ever cap in Montreal in front of friends and family. Mm-hmm. When I was in, I think, grade 10 or grade 11, so 15 or 16 years old, too old really to be a ball girl, I got the opportunity, or our club team did, to go and support. It was the CONCACAF qualifiers that was being played at Claude Rebillard in 1994. And so I got a chance to see the Annie Caron's. These are Quebec, like they're a member of the Canada Soccer Hall of Fame, also Quebec Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Luce Mongrain, my friend Izzy Morneau, that played on the national team with me for a really long time. So the Quebec-born players that had taken the path, done the thing that I wanted to do, that I aspired to do, and I got to see them play right in front of me. And I got to see Charmaine, and I got to see Jerry Donnelly and Andrea Neal, all the players that I admired, and I got to see them right up close. And I only found out about the national team probably a year or two prior to that. And then I had the tangible experience of seeing it right in front of me. So I knew, like, if you can see it, you can be it. Like, there's a reason why that exists, because it's so true. And it's also true for cultivating and building the fandom.
Does it freak you out, Dubs, to know that young players, or not so much young now, probably veteran players, but will be saying the same thing about playing with you and looking around and seeing you? That does freak you out.
They're old now.
Well, however old they are, but they had that moment, right? That you're not comfortable with that, are you?
No, I think I am comfortable with it now. Mm. And it's really pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're doubting me?
You say talking about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. Josh, got back to me.
Yeah.
8 digits. He says, editing error, as in I made the error.
I'm glad the New York Times editorial staff is so stringent.
Josh is bang on, you know. That's funny. But still, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
They're prepared to pay, right? It's a lot of money.
That's only $1 billion.
$1 million.
Exactly.
You know, actually, also a connoisseur of pizza. And does these pizza reviews from around the world.
That's great.
Josh on the various platforms. And obviously read him in The Athletic. Always a great column. Be it soccer or my beloved Leafs. Must read.
I don't read him for that, but he's my go-to for everything men's national team.
Anyway, they're going to pay a lot of money for that. Ireland's going to be fun, though. Right, regardless of whether they get in or not. Now, to get into the World Cup, they're in their playoff run is Denmark, Czechs, and North Macedonia. I think they're playing the Czechs, right? In the first game, I believe. But the winner
it's not
of that
an easy run. Holy jeez!
No, it's tough. But they beat Hungary.
Yeah,
Troy Parrott. They beat Portugal the week before. That crazy week of Irish football. One of the greatest weeks ever in Irish football, and what they did, and then the drama and the theater. So hopefully, we get to see Troy Parrott and company. As a World Cup team, not to dismiss Denmark, the Czechs, or North Macedonia, obviously. But it'd be cool, because if they are in the World Cup, there's a good chance a lot of the Irish fans will be coming here first on their way to wherever they're playing. And they will bring a lot to this city. And let's be honest, even if they're not at the World Cup, they'll travel with that team. And they'll probably stick around for some games here in Toronto. So that's fun. That's a great choice, if you ask me.
That was another challenge that was mentioned in the article. About that window, and then Canada, because they're on the third, is it the third day of the World Cup?
Yeah.
So they had to book the friendlies far enough in advance so that they could report to Toronto when FIFA wanted them to be there. I think June 7th, I think, is when FIFA mandates they have to be in the city where you're playing your first match.
Oh, like 5 days before the actual match.
Yeah, so a lot of teams who were playing later, they didn't want to be in Canada or in North America that early. So that further restricted the pool of teams that they could consider who would be eligible for a match.
Right.
I'm glad you're confirming Josh Cloak's article. A.B. Walsh from Footy Prime. I can confirm that Josh's article is correct.
Should we get to some fun and games?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Well,
before we do fun and games, a couple of comments.
Okay.
People have been commenting on our Spotify account, and so I just want to say thank you. We don't always see them because we go to Apple or YouTube, but our Spotify listeners, thank you so much for supporting us. But the first one was, I just wanted to pull it out. Willistifer, my kids call it Tim Hortons as well.
Yes.
So there you go.
I missed the Tim Hortons part. Who said that?
Tim Hortons is what Dubs's kids call Tim Hortons.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Richard K said, love the dance music in the background, laugh out loud. And that was our Rian Wilkinson. Remember who she was doing the interview?
Yeah.
And Black Box was in the background. Strike it up. I remember that. And then Robbie Snooks. This show makes me wish I had you all as good friends. Such a good, lighthearted, fun, and informative time. So Robbie Snooks, keep talking.
I love that.
If you want, join the Footy Prime Supporters Club. They're always asking for people because they're like Footy Prime. They got their hats out.
You know what? The best compliments we ever get, the ones I love the most, are the ones that say, we like you people. We'd like to be your friends.
Yeah.
Because we'd probably like to be your friends too. We would. Because we're like-minded people, and a lot of our listeners are like-minded. And we've met many of them, including the supporters club. And guess what? We actually are like-minded in a lot of things.
Yep. And we like each other.
We do. Especially me and Craig on here.
All our faults.
Can I tell a funny story quickly about LOL? Because one of the comments ended with that.
Sure.
My brother-in-law's mom, a few years ago on Facebook, I mean, she knew emojis, but it's like this generational thing with and like not really ease of use with social platforms. So somebody had died and she wrote, my condolences, LOL. And so my sister screen grabbed it and sent it to her husband, and they were horrified, like, what the hell's going on? And he talked to her and she used it. We went back and like in similar situations, somebody had fallen ill. And he was like, thinking about you all, LOL. And we're like, this is not good, you know? And then it turns out she thought it stood for lots of love.
Oh, very sweet.
That's brilliant.
But just not what anybody thinks.
No.
She missed an acronym.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's like great. That's like putting the laugh, like the laughing emoji instead of the care emoji when someone's passed away.
Yeah, you're like, thumbs up. Honestly,
thumbs up. That brings brevity to a horrible situation. I would love that. Yeah. You know, I'd appreciate it. I know you don't really, you're not really laughing out loud because so-and-so's died, but I'd love that. I'm trying to think about it. I read a story recently about a celebrity and someone died, and their comedian friend responded to the, I think it's the guy's father's died.
No, it's his brother. Responded. It's Albert Brooks. And his brother, Brooks? Who was Super Dave Osborne. I forget his real name, but he went up and made a speech.
It was brilliant. It was just torn apart. Yeah. It was a roast, but it was so good.
Yeah.
And it's like just the, you know, Super Dave.
His brother. That's amazing.
I know.
All right. To some fun and games. Let's start this one, okay? We should get, if we do this as a regular basis, we should get some kind of intro music.
What do you want? What are we calling it?
Things you hear.
Things you hear.
So things you hear.
There you go.
Both on the football pitch and in the bedroom.
Ooh.
Who would like to go first? Which actually, no, that wouldn't work, would it?
Things James Sherman never says.
It's not possible. Some things are impossible, and that is one of them.
This is like, whose line is it anyway? This is tough. I didn't think about this at all. All right.
Well, didn't you? Well, I did tell you that we'd be doing it yesterday at noon.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're just answering. You have the questions, right?
What?
That's the question.
The question is
things you hear.
It's not really a question, it's a statement.
No. Yeah. What are things that you hear both in on the football pitch and also in the bedroom? Okay.
Sorry, Tony.
Yeah. Luca Toni.
Poor Tony.
Italy's playing with Luca Toni and I don't know. Insigne sent the ball across and it went over Luca Toni. Sorry, Tony.
Oh, is it poor Tony?
Absolutely.
Oh, that ruined it.
Here's one. Go long. Right?
How about go man deep? On.
Man on. Another good one.
Get in the box.
Get in the box. Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Substitution.
It's a triple sub.
Oh,
leave it.
Oh, right. That's quite good. Yeah,
hear that a lot as well. Get in there. Uh-huh. Get in there.
Yeah.
It's kind of grossing me out when Dubs goes, "Yeah, I've used that."
That's not what was required.
Yeah. things you hear in a podcast and also in the bedroom.
I think it's broken.
What's that?
I think it's broken.
Mm.
What would that?
I don't know if that
injury.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
this was funnier in my head when I thought about it.
It's all right.
I've got another one.
James Sharman and I are going to do stand-up.
Yes. Oh. You want the ball? I do that all the time. Yeah.
No.
Also could work in the bedroom.
Here's one specifically for Craig. Give me the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any other ones that you can think of, my fellow people listening to these idiots? Let us know in the comment section.
Please.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, right, this would be really great in the comment section.
Yeah, please, dear God. Would you rather?
Mm.
Okay. JC, theme tune, please. Would you rather?
Would you rather?
Oh, a country. Yeah.
What kind of veterish?
I don't know what that was.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Are you prepared for this one, Wonga?
Yeah.
Okay.
These are easy.
All right. Would you rather? Wonga.
Oh. Would you rather?
You just said it was easy.
No, because it's dirty. Mine is so dirty. That's fine. I can't even. It's my go-to when we're drinking. And it's sexual in nature and incestual. So I can't.
Okay, well, let's warm up to that then. Let's get some others in there first.
Would you rather get caught stealing tampons or have your toilet not flush?
So the part when I said that trinket is football related over your head.
Yes.
But I see what you're saying.
You get caught stealing tampons.
Toilet flush, surely.
Or the toilet's not flushing.
Have you seen that episode with the Stephen Merchant? Is it Extras?
Yeah.
When he has a date over and he's so awkward, right, as he is, and he has to excuse himself to go into the washroom. And then he comes out of the washroom and he's just standing there with his arm on the door frame, just standing there staring. And she's like, everything okay? He's like, just waiting for it to go down. And then he waits, it's this awkward silence, and he goes back in there. Oh, for fuck's sake, she says. He comes out, he goes into the kitchen and gets a whisk. And she's like, there's a horror on her face. Oh, God, it's so funny. It's one of my favorite parts of Extras. I think it's Extras. Anyway, sorry. So that would be my, it happens to everyone at some point, the toilet. And being
so the toilet
thief,
flooding?
What you're stealing, being a thief, can't come back from that.
All right. Dubs?
I mean, yeah, like what's so bad? I mean, I know you don't want to be caught stealing, but why is tampons, like what does that make it worse?
Oh, it's just more about stealing.
Mm. I guess the toilet flushing as well.
Really? Have you ever had that happen?
Who hasn't had that happen?
It's not flushing?
Yeah.
A three coal steamer with a Dairy Queen finish?
And YouTube.
Sponsored by Dairy Queen. JC, what would be your answer to that?
Shoplifting or toilet?
Specifically, tampons. 100%. I'd steal tampons in a heartbeat. Because if you get caught, well, that's the point, right? You get caught. Yeah. I'd say, listen, I'm down on my luck. I got a little girl at home. I need to. Her mother passed away in a hot air balloon accident.
wrote LOL.
At a funeral. So I need to teach my little girl, but it was that or put food on the table. And they'd say, aw. And then I'd go to jail.
Yeah.
And then I'd find my new wife.
Yeah, see? It all works out well in the end.
Everything works out.
Okay. Shall we steer this back to football?
Yes. I have one football there, related. I do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you rather be a key cog of a national team for years, but never trusted in big moments, or be a player consistently relied upon and remembered for a missed penalty or a game-deciding gaffe?
So you're a good pro, but you're not trusted in the big moments.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're a great player, but you're just known for... You're Gareth Southgate, basically. You're forgotten.
No, think of even worse. Italian.
Roberto Baggio?
Yes.
I remember Baggio for his goals, though. But I get what you're saying.
And
right.
His ponytail.
He still had one at the World Cup draw.
That's right. He looked great.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He looked just like Ruben Nistelrooy, didn't he? Longer? that's a good one. I think the first. Because I'd be so angry and upset that I'm remembered for this big miss when I've done so much else in my career. It must get frustrating, right? You can't walk down the street with some twat yelling at you.
Yeah, you're infamous instead of famous, even after table. Your career, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for missing a penalty or, you know, headbutting a player in the chest or whatever it is. Yeah. Give me the good, important role in a team, kind of under the spotlight, taken off when the pressure gets really bad, but I can still celebrate when it goes right.
Mm. That's not a bad way to look at it, though, because you're still playing your part. You're just not on. Mm-hmm.
You're just being subbed off with 10 minutes left every single game.
Yeah.
You can't be trusted.
So I've lived this. I had a really good my second year during the Vanier Cup season at McGill. I led the team in kickoff and punt returns and played an integral part defensively. And then the playoffs came and I fumbled the ball on national TV. Oh. So I have to tell you, I lived with both. And it was quite sad to be my friends made fun of me a lot about my fumbleitis. But at the same time, to be in that spotlight and to be remembered for that, it's not a bad place. 20, 30 years later, 40 years later, scary.
Because at least you have the opportunity, right?
Yeah.
At least you're in that spot, and most people would never even experience that.
Yeah.
But to know that you missed a penalty and your entire nation, for example, like tens of millions of people are watching and have everything on this. And to know that you skied that penalty over the bar and broke the hearts. There were old ladies crying with their inconsolable grandchildren in their laps. Their husbands are keeling over and dying.
Lots of love.
LOL.
LOL.
Lots of love.
I don't know, Dubs, what do you think? I mean, you played the Dubs game at the highest level.
Mm-hmm. I think I would rather be the player remembered for the gaffe and for the miss. Mm-hmm. Because even though the fan base remembers that, you might be vilified for it. On the inside, the fact that you had the trust of your coach, you had the backing and the confidence of your teammates, that's invaluable. That's what you remember more. I mean, you might have to deal with like the enduring legacy of a miss that broke the heart of the nation, right? I mean, that's huge. And I never lived that on that type of stage. But what you remember when your career is done is on the inside is the locker room stuff, the banter, the respect and the feelings of your teammates. So I think I would rather have to deal with that kind of publicly, but remember the good times and the trust and the moments from everybody that I cared about.
That's true, because your contemporaries, they know damn well, having been in a similar situation or around that environment, they know what you were going through and what you brought to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To hell with
the difference is the difference is for me, we won. We still won with my gaffe.
Oh, that's the difference.
Gaffes, I should say. Mm-hmm.
I guess it's like listening to the comments section.
Yeah.
Over what we think of each other. Right.
Why are you looking at me when you're saying that?
Because you answered the comment section recently.
I did answer some recently.
Sam Adekube and Alfie Jones. And I was like, yes, you're right. We forgot. Yeah,
we forgot about them.
So thank you for correcting us. But
and it wasn't dismissing Sam. And I wanted to make sure that, well, not that he gives a shit, but like that. People who listen know that like we weren't not mentioning him because we didn't think that he was a factor. And somebody was like, what about Luke de Fougerolle?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but we were talking about injuries.
And for Marsh specifically.
I didn't see these comments. They were talking about what exactly? Just the situation.
We're talking about injuries to the back line for the men's national team.
Oh, and just because you didn't mention every single player.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of insinuate, don't you? Oh, Jesus, people.
No, I don't mind being corrected. I think
was it politely corrected?
Yeah, it wasn't anything fine. Rude. Okay. It's just that I think you guys forgot about.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Moving on, Should we move on? Anyone else want to comment on this?
Well, I'll say that I'll take the gaff any day of the week because one, you can, there's all sorts of sponsorship opportunities, you know, for
good point.
You know, like oops. And the big, I mean, I would say that the big part of it is you could be on as many dates as you want and the toilet doesn't flush, but they're still going to remember that you missed that shot. So you could like overflow in the toilets all throughout the, you know, but you know, it doesn't matter because you missed the shot.
You missed the shot.
It's like, yeah. Oops, I missed. You could miss. Yeah. So that's,
yeah.
That's
no, I think Gareth Southgate did something, after he missed that penalty. I forget what it was. Some commercial. Anyway, almost out of time. Here's one for you very quickly. Would you rather Leo Messi joins the Premier League but retires after one season or stays in MLS for three more seasons? So we get to see Messi in the Premier League, which is our favorite professional league. I think we can say that. It's fair enough. We get to see the greatest of all time, even at the end of his career, but still obviously very good. One season, let's say he joins Liverpool in the summer, or he stays in Miami for three more seasons. What's it going to be?
Oh, I mean, I want to see Messi in a Liverpool kit.
I want to see Messi in the Prem. Yeah.
You agree, JC?
Yeah, but for Spurs.
Yeah,
that's how they turn it around.
Fair enough.
That might be enough to turn the team around. Yeah. Actually,
they win the Champions League this year, and then they didn't get relegated, and they bring him over, and then everything's great. Then they win the league.
All right.
I mean, Sharms, 4 years ago, we were talking about Messi and Ronaldo, whether they'd be around for 2026, and we were like, no way is either of them going to be around for 2026. And look what the kind of investment in their bodies and their play has done and allowed us to be so fortunate really to see, right? And it's incredible to me where I'm just sitting there going, these guys are still at the top of their game, even though Ronaldo sits out and all the above. The guy's a specimen. And Messi's game, his actual game, translates to longevity. It's smart. It's quick. He doesn't overextend himself. He's got that kind of Thomas Mueller brain where he sees everything on the pitch before it happens. And you're sitting there going, this guy could actually probably play another five seasons anywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Right?
We could be talking about 2030.
I mean,
50 years old. Pitch.
I know. But you're right, because I remember those conversations post 2022. Well, we got to see Messi lift a World Cup finally. You know, he won't be around in 4 years' time on the football pitch. Same for, and here they are. It is amazing. It's a testament to both of them. It's incredible how they've kept themselves in such, because they'll still be contributing members. They're not just like being picked because of their name. Messi is still brilliant in MLS. He's going to be brilliant at the World Cup. Ronaldo, I don't get to see him at all at Al Nassr. But when we see him for Portugal, he's still scoring goals every single game. I just can't understand. They might be better off without him still.
But he whines still more, though. Do you notice he's whining more, though, if he doesn't get the ball? That's what I think he knows. I only have a certain amount of time, and if you don't kick me the ball in the right way, I'm not going to keep scoring.
I know. Apparently, though, there's rumors he might boycott the World Cup unless Portugal spend more money on footballers and players and teammates. It's been rumors about that. So, but it could be true.
It could be.
All right. That is. We'll save some of these. More of these for later.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at here? We are I'm trying to look at my push-up challenge, but my app's down right now. Is your app down?
No, I just did. I did 30 this morning, so I feel
pretty
good.
How many is it today?
It's 50. No, 56 or something like that. Yeah.
Is it okay?
56, so okay. I have had a double blow of bad luck. So sick, yes, as you can hear in my delicious voice. But also the other night, two nights ago, I was walking Biggie in a pair of Doc Martens and I on my icy street. And you know when you slip and catch yourself and you don't fall?
Yeah.
Well, I slipped and caught myself three times, exactly the same thing. And I think I slipped a disc or something in my back.
Oh, no.
So getting down to do... to do a push-up, like it's I can't put anything on this side of my
body. Oh no.
Don't do it. So don't kill yourself.
But yeah, just no. taking a leave
next week.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing them all one handed. you know what I mean? So I'm already at like 1500 today. So
it's 46 today, Sharms. Just FYI.
46.
Yeah.
Come on, JC, you can do 46. No,
but I have to
don't
catch up.
Screw yourself up because you'll be done for the next month.
I'm like JC. I have to catch up.
Okay.
Hey, what did the mama tomato say to the baby tomato when he was lagging behind?
Catch up.
Mm. No, it was let's go, son. We have an appointment. I don't want to have to pay the late fee, Clarence.
By the way, JC, some advice, and then you know this now, but because I love Doc Martens too, but they're terrible in the snow and ice.
Awful.
Worst. It's like wearing like skates.
Yeah.
They'd be pretty good, wouldn't they? They'd be good, actually, when these skates in the ice. Yeah. But yeah, they're awful. You can't wear them. Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's Footy Prime for another day. Go. Oh, don't we miss Craig and Jimmy?
No.
Searching for conversation and topics and inspiration. Wow.
I'm sorry that we mucked up your what would you hear on the in the bedroom and also on a soccer pitch. I misunderstood
what
you had said. I thought you had things for us, and then we were going to answer soccer pitch or bedroom. I didn't think that we were supposed to come up with things that worked in both arenas.
Mm-hmm. I misunderstood.
Sorry.
Mm. Yeah, you really.
It should have been a much better segment.
Put a damper on the whole.
We'll do it again because we already have the theme song.
So my cats are insane. They're like a herd of elephants. Like Jesus Christ. Sorry. Anyway. It's crazy. And I need new glasses. And Dubs is frozen.
Internet.
Yeah, your internet's not working very well, Dubs.
I know. Like the
like and retweet. And follow us on all our various channels. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back tomorrow. Give us some of your would you or would you rather not? Would you rathers? we need games. We like games. They're fun. They conjure conversation, like the whole Ronaldo Messi thing did there, for example.
Oh, I was going to do a quick trivia before we left, too. Okay. What is, because Elon Musk is switching from going to Mars to now he says we should do the moon. How long does it take to fly to the moon?
Take
3 days.
No, fly me to the moon.
3 days?
I've got a horrible joke there, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to say 3.5 days.
Dubs?
I'm going to say 1 day.
7 days. It takes a week to get to the moon.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
With today's technology.
You can almost touch it sometimes. It's right there.
Yeah, I know. And it looks like cheese. And then a cow jumped over it.
Assuming we ever went to the moon.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Quite honestly, the way we've learned how governments and politics work in the last number of years, I wouldn't doubt that anything was faked. I'm leaning towards the fact they did go, but you could convince me otherwise, I think. Okay. But that is a whole podcast conversation.
Jimmy and Craig will be joining us next week here on Footy Prime the Podcast.
Jimmy owns part of the movie, so you can tell.
That's true.
All right, until next time. Bye, everyone.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
Hit it.
Dubs, after all that internet, what's going on?
I don't know. It was doing so well. And then I noticed that my computer, and I think it's because it's the first time I've done a show with like the new camera.